Welcome to day 22 of Daily Acts. This is a 28-day journey through the book of Acts, and today we're going to be in chapter 22. I will be your guide for today. My name is Pastor Randy Green. I'm so glad to be able to share with you today from Acts. Chapter 22. So let's get our Bibles out and study the Word together. There's nothing like studying the Word together. You know, we need to read the Bible in color. And so, you know, way back when, at least when I was a kid, all we had was black and white television. And so we had to try to figure out the colors of different things. And so sometimes you need to read the Bible in that same way. That's the way I like to read it, because it just comes alive when you start thinking about the different colors, the different smells, the different things that are going around. And so I'd like for you to do that today, because I'm just going to tell you, this is some power-packed things that was happening in the Apostle Paul's life, and it's pretty exciting. So there never seemed to be a dull moment in the Apostle Paul's life. It seemed that everywhere he went, there was either riot or revival. I mean, he shook up things when he got around there. So in chapter 21 that we looked at yesterday, he's in Jerusalem worshiping the Lord, just trying to be some influence to the Jews there. And a riot breaks out because people are thinking that he brought a Gentile Christian named Trophimus into the temple. Okay, they had seen him there with him walking around in the city of Jerusalem, and they thought that he brought them into the temple. So on a side note, when you jump to conclusions without checking out the facts, things normally get pretty nasty. Because so what they did was they dragged Paul out of the temple, and all of these, quote, godly people who were worshiping the Lord, they were getting ready to kill him. You know, how'd you like to go to a church service and like that? Folks, they don't like what you look like, or they don't like the company that you keep, and then they try to stone you with real stones. And so, you know, sometimes in church that actually happens, not with real stones, okay? But when we think something about someone, and then we go with our own narrative about that person and begin stoning them with our words or our actions. So let's don't be guilty of ever doing that. Here at Journey, we say everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Christ Jesus, everything is possible. And we believe that. So everybody is welcome. You know, Pastor Andy Stanley is quoted a lot, and this is one thing that he says. He says, we are either a mess or we're a mess, or we're just one dumb decision away from becoming a mess. So let's don't make snap judgments about people. So everybody is welcome here. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 40, the scripture says, having recognized the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and he motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic. Now listen, you have to remember what was happening. Paul had been in the temple. He had been thrown out. People were angry. They were mad. They were ready to kill the guy. And so he was saved by the Romans there. And so he stands up and he says, hey, let me talk to these guys who are so mad. Okay. And so he says this. He says, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. I'm just telling you, this is the same way that Stephen opened up his message in Acts chapter 7 before he got stoned. And so, it's kind of hard to call someone that's trying to hit you with a rock or kill you, your brother or your father. But he did. And so he was coming to them with the best way that he could to get into their hearts. You know, he says, listen to my defense. The word is apologia, where we get our word apology. Here it refers to a formal defense of one's past life or actions. So Paul is going to stand up and defend who he is and why he lives on a mission for Christ. Sometimes I talk to people and I ask them, do you have a title or do you have a testimony? Paul definitely had a testimony. His title, it didn't amount to a hill of beans to him, but his testimony was the thing that he wanted people to hear. And so in verse 2, it says, when they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Now, when speaking to a crowd of people who want to stone you, it's always good to find something in common with them. So speaking Hebrew or Aramaic in their own dialect was something that they were apt to listen to. So the same goes for us today. When we're sharing Christ with somebody or when we're trying to talk to people about Jesus, find something that you have in common to start the conversation off with. And so then Paul said in verse 3, he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. So he gives them his credentials. He says, and his pedigree, he says who he was. He was born a Jew in Tarsus of Cilicia. Okay, and so he was born a Jew. He grew up in Jerusalem. Although he wasn't born in Jerusalem, he grew up in Jerusalem, educated by Gamaliel in Jerusalem, the finest education that a fellow could get. He was zealous for the law. Just as zealous as these people were, he persecuted the way. He persecuted the Christians, and he was testifying to this. You know, when he said, I persecuted the way, this is the third time that the way is used in the book of Acts. And so maybe, just maybe, we need to go back to using some of those distinctions about Christ and God's church. You know, we might already ask people nowadays, do you know about the way? Do you know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me? Do you know about the way? Because Jesus is the only way. So Paul gave a similar resume of his life in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. He says, if anyone else thinks that he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. So this guy, I mean, he knew the law and he obeyed the law and he was straight string in trying to do what God wanted him to do. And that's one thing that you can say about the Apostle Paul. At the beginning, he had a heart that was to do what God wanted him to do. Persecuting the way, he thought that's what God wanted him to do. But we're going to find out just a little bit about his conversation with Jesus. So now, he's going to give his personal testimony as to what happened to him on the way to Damascus. We heard this account in Acts chapter 9, and now again, we're going to see some other details and hear about it as well. Verse 6 says, about noon, as I came to Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. Now, bright lights from heaven, a spotlight in the middle of the day, everyone with him saw the light, but only Saul was the one who was blinded. I mean, he was blinded before he was there because he was persecuting the way, but now he's physically blinded. He cannot see. I mean, he's groping around. He doesn't understand what is going on. A voice that only he understood and his companions heard it, but they did not understand the voice. And I can just imagine Paul pondering Jesus's question. Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the way. He was persecuting the Christians. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Listen, you do bad things to Christ's church, then it's like doing it to Jesus Christ himself. All of us who are husbands, if someone does something bad to their bride, hey, it's like doing it to me. You do something bad to Sandra, you might as well have done it to me, and I'll come after you. Jesus said, hey, look, I'm coming after you, Saul, because you are persecuting my church, and you need to understand. Verse 10, he says, what shall I do, Lord? And that's a great question. What do I do? When you're messed up in things, what do you do? And he said, get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you've been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. You know, in Acts 9, we read that he was blind for 3 days and didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. And I guarantee you, by the time of 3 days, he was hungry, he was thirsty, and he was, I'm sure, very, very sorrowful for what he had been doing. And then he says in verse 12, a man named Ananias came to see me. And listen what kind of fella he was. He was a devout observer of the law, highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. In Acts chapter 9, he actually says he placed his hands on him and he was able to see. It was an instantaneous healing of the blindness that had happened to Paul. And so instantly, he was healed at that moment, immediately. Verse 14 says, and then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. Now listen to this. He's chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear words from his mouth. Wow. God chose Paul to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear words from his mouth. You will be a witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And even today, 2,000 years later almost, he is still a witness of what happened to him on this day, on this road to Damascus. Okay, he's still that witness, and praise God for that. So Paul was chosen by God to know his will, to see Jesus, and to be a witness for him. Now think about it. God wants the same thing for you and me. He wants us to know his will for our lives. Listen, he's not playing hide and seek with us. He's not trying to run around so that we can't find him. He's out there in the open waiting. He's waiting with arms outstretched, waiting for us to come to him and to know him. He wants us to read his word and to study his word and look at it. And by these words, you become to have faith and you start coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words right here, they're the words of life. They're true. You know, people say, well, what is his will for my life? I can tell you, it's very simple. Listen, he just wants a relationship with you. He just wants to be able to reach out to you and to be able to hug you and to hold you and for you to love him and let him love you back because he loves you more than anything in the world. The scripture says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that's his will for you. It's my will. It's his will for us is that we reach out to him and perhaps find him and understand and to know him. And he also wants us to see Jesus. You know, for Paul, he says one of his things was to see Jesus. Jesus, God wants us to see him today. God wants us to see Jesus. I see him by faith in these scriptures. When I read these scriptures right here, I imagine Jesus. That's the reason I said you need to read your Bible in color, because you look at this and you see Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes if you need help with that, check out these different series that you see on television, like The Chosen or the Jesus film or the Matthew film. There's all kinds of films and different DVDs and different things that you can see Jesus and his teachings, and it just brings it alive. And so he wants us to see Jesus. Look, I see Jesus, see him in action when people follow him. I see him make a difference in people who truly care and surrender their lordship to Jesus. I mean, I know Jesus, I see him every day in the life of my wife and in the life of my kids. I see him in my grandchildren. I see him in my coworkers at work. I see him in the scriptures, and I believe in him more and more each day. And then he also, just like Paul, he said, I want you to be a witness. He wants us to be a witness. Now you might be thinking, well, can't you guys come up with anything more from the book of Acts than being a witness? Sure, sure we have. But if you miss this point, if you miss the point of being a witness for Jesus Christ, you have missed the book of Acts. You have missed the point of the Acts of the Apostles. They were witnesses to all the things that God was doing there and the Holy Spirit living in people's lives and things. And so they were witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we are to be as well. Spirit-filled believers telling the good news of the gospel of God's grace and telling that good news with a smile on your face and a joy in your heart and a little skip in your step because you know that you planted in someone the good news of Jesus. So it was Paul's testimony. He's a witness of the resurrected Lord. And so, you know, do you have a title or a testimony? Okay? Do you have the title of being a Christian, or do you have a testimony? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ? Verse 16, this is what he said. This is what Ananias said. He said, and now, talking to Paul, he said, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. You know, as we've studied and as we've read the book of Acts, we've seen 9 different times where people respond to the good news of the gospel of God's grace. And they were all baptized into Jesus Christ. Just look on your screen here. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 42, there's 3,000 people who were baptized into Christ on the day of Pentecost. And then the second one is in Samaria, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, they were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and 4 through 46, or through 40, I mean, the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. He said, hey, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized? Saul of Tarsus, Acts chapter 9, and then again, his testimony that we've been reading today, that he was baptized. And Ananias said, what are you waiting for? You know, get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. The household of Cornelius, the Lydia of Thyatira in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, even at midnight, they washed the wounds, and then they went at midnight and baptized the Philippian jailer and his whole household. The believers in Corinth in Acts chapter 18, the Ephesian disciples in Acts chapter 19. And so here you see, Paul says, Ananias said to them, he said, get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. You see, it's that simple. In the book of Acts, thousands of people were baptized into Christ, and today we still obey the words of our Lord Jesus, who said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, 18 through 20, he says, then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that's what Jesus said right before he ascended back up into heaven there. And so as you look at this and you understand this, that's the reason so many people are baptized into Christ. If you come to Journey, you see people being baptized into Jesus all the time. You know, one of the things that Pastor John always says here, he says, baptism is not something we argue about. It's just something that we celebrate and obey. And as you're looking at some of these pictures and people celebrating being baptized into the Christ, I'm telling you the truth. People's lives are being changed. People's lives have the Holy Spirit coming into them. Their sins are being forgiven. That's the reason they raise their hands and they shout hallelujah, because the old has gone and the new has come into their life. Listen, when you see these people being baptized, they are so excited to follow Jesus and to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Listen, the wrong question is this: do I have to be baptized? If you're asking, do I have to be baptized? Is that really what I have to do? You're asking the wrong question. The right question is this: why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I be? Now, if you've never made that step of faith, what are you waiting for? I mean, just like Paul said, Ananias told him, he says, what are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. So anyway, I want to encourage you to think about that, pray about that, and ask God to help you make a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. Let Jesus wash away your sins, and you will be excited about that. Verse 17 says this: so when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance. And saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony. This is about 20 years earlier, okay, when he was there. He says, Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. And then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And remember who he's talking to. He's talking to all these Jewish leaders, all these Jewish peoples, and that's his crowd. In verse 21, then the Lord said, go, and I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And these guys went ballistic. I mean, it's like they couldn't stand it any longer. So the Jews hated that God loved the Gentiles too. And so they're ready to string him up again. Everywhere Paul went, there was either riot or revival. I mean, things happened in Paul's life. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this, and then they raised their voices. They shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. And as they were shouting, and they were throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust in the air. I mean, it's a pretty descriptive thing of what was going on in this crowd. I mean, there was a riot going on here. Can you imagine this? The uproar, the crowd's response to sending the message of the gospel to the Gentiles? I mean, why in the world would you hate a group of people so much? And he says, I am so glad that Paul courageously shared the gospel because I'm a Gentile. And most of you who are listening to this message, you're Gentiles as well. And so I praise God for him. Thank you, Jesus, for sending men like Paul, who was willing to die for the sake of Jesus. Verse 24 says this: so the commander ordered Paul to be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and questioned in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. And as they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion there, he said, is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty? Now remember, Paul had sort of given his resume or his pedigree and everything, but he had left that little part out there and about him being a Roman citizen. And so when the centurion heard this, verse 26, he went to the commander and he reported it. He says, hey, what are you going to do? He asked, this man, he's a Roman citizen. The commander went to Paul and asked, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I am, he answered. Then the commander said, I had to pay a big price for my citizenship. And Paul says, well, but I was born a citizen, Paul replied. Those who were about to question him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul and a Roman citizen in chains. And so the next day, since the commander wanted to find out exactly what Paul was being accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a title or testimony? What is your testimony of Christ? We just heard Paul's. What is your testimony for Jesus Christ? Can you give your testimony and share your testimony as bold and as Paul did? I mean, I didn't have a light come down out of heaven and shine on me. But what I did have was this. I heard the preaching of the gospel. I heard a preacher telling me about Jesus Christ and how he loved me and how he cared for me. And I was just a little kid. I was only 10, 11 years old. And I heard that message. My heart broke and I wanted to be with Christ. And I'll never forget that night. I repented and I asked God to be my Lord and Savior. I'd go to church all my life, but that evening, I asked Him, And I started crying, and I went out to the car, and I was at a gospel meeting there, and I went out to the car, and my daddy came to me. He said, "Son, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Are you did you get in a fight with Ricky Chastain?" That was one of my buddies that we had wrestled with at church. And I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Well, what's wrong?" And I said, "Well, Daddy, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be baptized." And so we talked about it and everything. And I was baptized into Christ the very next evening after Daddy took me home. He opened up the Bible and he said, "Son, do you understand all this?" And I said, "Yes, sir." To the best of my ability, I did. And so I was baptized the next evening. And yeah, I've fallen a lot since I was 11 years old. Okay, you know, I've had ups and I've had downs, but I tell you what, one thing, Jesus always pulled me up. Jesus always lifted me up, and Jesus always loved me. And since a very young man, I followed Jesus Christ. My testimony is this, is that God can take an old boy from Arkansas out of the fields of Arkansas and send him around the world into places where he can't even speak the language, and yet people come to know Christ. That's power. It's not power of me. It's power of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. And I'm telling you the truth. Your testimony for Jesus counts. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. If you love Jesus and you follow Jesus, you've been baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. So share your testimony, because it is the greatest thing that you could ever do. So let me ask you this question again. Do you have a title of being a Christian, or do you have a testimony? Paul had a testimony that rocked the world for Jesus Christ. And so in this next chapter, we're going to see what happens to Paul in this angry crowd because of his testimony for Jesus. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that these words have been encouraging to the folks who have been listening. Lord, we love you, and we ask you to help us to be strong in our testimony for you. Help us to be strong in our witness for you. Help us to realize what your will is for our lives, is that we just follow you and share that good news. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Daily Acts. Don't forget to subscribe to Journey's YouTube channel and sign up for the notifications for future messages. If what you heard today was helpful or encouraging, please share it with others. Join us again tomorrow for the next leg of our Daily Acts journey.